you'd be hard-pressed to describe Wellington's recent Cubadoopa Festival as anything but an outstanding success. 2 days of street food, live music, street artists, and throngs of happy attendees. And if you were to make a complaint, well, it would probably focus on the number of drunk people wandering the streets late at night and the menace they can sometimes represent. Jason Krupp is a research fellow at the New Zealand Institute. That's a business think tank. And he's been looking into the ways that vibrant cities elsewhere in the world handle the tension between nightlife and community concern. And Jason joins us now in our Wellington studio. Hello there.
Hi, Jesse.
Interesting topic, eh?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fascinating.
And often when you see nightlife in the media or talked about by the police or community groups or even members of the local government, it's a half-empty approach, isn't it? It's seen as maybe a necessary evil in a lot of cities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things we have to acknowledge is that while a nightlife plays an important part in any vibrant city, it does have negative spillover effects. And those are drunk people, violence, and some of the literal spillover effects. But generally what we tend to see is that in trying to fix these spillover effects by making bars close earlier, you have the negative impact of, one, concentrating all those problems at one time, and two, also weighing on what makes a city's nightlife vibrant and a fun place to go out to. So by having a nightmare, you actually have an official in a city council who's worried about the businesses, who's worried about these effects and how you manage them, and you actually give someone responsibility for it. So you actually can have a win-win.
It's an unfortunate name, nightmare, because it sounds like you're talking about a bad dream. Maybe we should call him Mayor of the Night, or her Mayor of the Night.
Well, there's a couple of puns either way you look at it.
Yeah. Hey, so has this worked overseas?
Well, it's working in Amsterdam. Amsterdam, which I recently visited last year as part of a research trip, relies very heavily on a tourist trade, and a tourist trade concentrated in the centre of town, where also a lot of people happen to live because it's a desirable place to live. So they have quite a pragmatic approach to this, and they've been working on it since about 2003. But I think the success of this idea can be tested in the fact that other European cities like London and a few others are actually emulating it, because they realise that, you know, it's a neat solution to two problems.
Let me get this straight. You went to Amsterdam to research the nightlife.
No, I didn't. But
How do you get a job in a think tank, Jason? Sounds like a pretty good life.
Well, actually, I went to research local government. So, you know, as much as I got to go to Amsterdam, there's swings and roundabouts for everything.
Yeah, okay. So what does a nightmare do exactly?
Well, what they principally do is resolve tensions between night businesses, such as bars and restaurants and clubs, and day businesses. Because if you're a day business, you don't want to come back and find a whole bunch of rubbish on your street. Or if you're a resident, you don't want people late at night coming out of bars and clubs in big clumps, keeping you awake at night. So what they do is they craft policies to ensure that you don't have a concentration of very loud people in one place at one time. They also had the groundbreaking idea, and I think this is particularly apt in places like New Zealand, where we're concerned about bar opening times and when bars close, basically they've let bars stay open 24 hours. And the upside of that is you don't have a mass of drunk patrons onto the street all at one time, which is just a recipe for disaster. And by having bars stay open for 24 hours, you tend to find that not every bar will do this, only a few, and people tend to go home in drips and drabs. And so the concentrated problems that you have in the usual approach of approaching this, they don't eventuate.
Yeah, is there any evidence around what happens in a city once you do change the closing hours? I mean, does that actually happen? Does it tend to concentrate crime and disorder around that one particular time, or is that just a theory?
No, well, European research has definitely found that this is the case. All that happens when you move the bar closing times is you just change the incidence of when these things actually occur. But even if you look at Wellington's own statistics, Wellington just went through a big process where it argued with the police about what should be the closing time for bars in Wellington. And what you found is they moved it from 5 a.m. to 4 a.m. But when you analyze hospital stats and crime stats, the peak is still at 1 a.m. So it has nothing to do with closing time per se. This is just something that is a negative spillover effect that you get from having people getting drunk and you know, just general, I don't know, joie de vivre, if you will.
Yeah. Someone sent me a text message and says the idea of a nightmare is just adding more bureaucracy to bureaucracy. The bureaucrats just want more bureaucrats, and it's just going to create more paperwork and more red tape and more people in the public purse.
I would argue it's the other way around. So right now we have systems and processes for dealing with night businesses that are geared for day businesses. And so you've got frustrated businesses paying rates, and quite high rates, to stay open, and they have to recoup it. But they have to deal with a model of local government interaction that's designed for day businesses. It's not really nuanced for their kind of business. So I think if you put a go-between in this, you get someone who can, you know, walk around some of the red tape. And, you know, certainly any measure that reduces red tape is something we salute.
Why is Wellington particularly suited to this?
Well, I think Wellington benefits from the fact that we have quite a concentrated nightlife, unlike places like Auckland, which is quite dispersed. People tend to gravitate towards Courtenay Place to go out at night. And so it means you can concentrate the policy. And what it also means is that if someone wants to live in an apartment above Courtenay Place, and they choose to move to Courtenay Place and they know it's a noisy place late at night, they're coming to the nuisance. If they want somewhere quiet, you know, it just resolves some of those tensions. And also Wellington is known for a great nightlife. It's great for having vibrant music and great bars, and really, why have your cake and not eat it?
Is the nightmare position a high-profile position? Is it someone who needs sort of, you know, charisma? Are they to have a big public profile? And are they elected?
No, I don't think they're actually elected. But I think if your job is going to be resolving tensions between residents and day businesses and night businesses who, you know, people who run a store don't want to exactly see vomit outside the front of their storefront first thing in the morning, I think a bit of charm goes a long way. But I think it's better to have a nightmare who is actually appointed and has experience and skills in this area. So in Amsterdam, the person who's actually the nightmare there has actually worked in the night industry. They were a club owner. So it works quite neatly in that respect.
Any interest from the council in this idea?
There has been, quite interestingly, not officially, but Councillor Nicola Young has picked it up and has added it to her list of 100 things to complete the list of things to complete in her first 100 days should she become Mayor of Wellington in the upcoming elections. And I think it's nifty ideas like this and smart policy fixes that can have a net benefit to a city. And so I entirely support ideas that come from outside the box and help transform things. And I don't see why this would be any different.
Great use of the word nifty, by the way. I don't hear that very often these days. What sort of hours would a nightmare work?
Well, I imagine they wouldn't actually have to work at night. It would largely be a coordination and facilitation role. Someone who's really a go-between between police, health authorities, city officials, businesses. I would imagine it's probably 9 to 5.
Nice one. Hey, good to chat to you. Jason Krupp, thanks very much for your time today, and thanks for coming into the Wellington studio.
Thank you.
It's Jason Krupp, a research fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. Yeah, think tank. That sounds like a great way to go for a few years for your employment. Good stuff.